bizarre as this may sound as from a lumpy big Scottish bloke, but I actually quite like making sure that we've got interesting female voices in the drama. We were about to go into, you would argue, the biggest social changes since the 1910s, 1920s. Sexually and socially, it was all about to change. You know, rock and roll was literally on the doorstep, and, you know, the sexual revolution was there, and women's ideas of themselves and feminism were all on the boil, really, and it was all just about to take a bit of a turn. Whether it really kicked in for another 20 years is another question that everybody would have to ask themselves, but it was certainly changing, and I thought it was important that we had at least one voice in there that showed us a bit of how that was coming, that was going to come around the corner. And so, yeah, one of the primary reasons of the character of Matty was that, was to have a young female voice showing us how people were thinking in their mid-20s at that point in time. And, you know, she's also that kind of character, that sort of feisty female character is an interesting one to juxtapose with what looks like initially a very kind of conservative character in Jean. Mm-hmm. It's complex stuff to play with because nothing's black and white. I hate black and white. Grey is a really good area. And there's a lot of grey to play with in Jean's character, and that's a good thing because she's not as she seems. And as a lot of women weren't, you know, women were, through circumstance, often just placed in positions of running houses and doing the ironing and doing the hoovering and doing the dishes. And it wasn't particularly sexist on the male part either. It was just, you know, males worked, women stayed at home and did the dishes was kind of how it was. So I think Jean's fascinating for that because she keeps changing the views of what we think of her every week. Hopefully we find a wee bit more about her.
I think you mean the reform school. No one calls it the bad girl's home.
I do.
Okay, so if she's a bad girl, does that mean that she deserves everything that she gets?
Now, I understand that Dr. Lucien Blake is based partially on yourself.
Yeah, look, in as much as I moved away from where I was born, not when I was 10, but, you know, in my early 20s, and I moved from the village to the Big Smoke, which at that time was Glasgow, which seemed like a long way away. It was only 40 miles up the road. But then I moved to London, which seemed like a very, very long way away. And so I've not lived in Scotland now for 28 years. And when I go back to the village that I came from, you know, my parents have never lived more than 10 miles from where they were born. My dad's no longer visited, my mum's there, and all her friends are still going strong. And I go back into the village, and I know the village, and a lot of them know me because they knew me when I was a little kid. But we kind of don't know one another as well because I don't come from there anymore. So nothing has changed, but everything has changed. And from that point of view, that's kind of what Blake's come back into. Mm-hmm. He's come back to a place he knew and was born in and will always know in a way that people who are born in places know a place, but he's not from there anymore. So he's trying to fit back into his home, which is a strange sensation. And not everyone's had that sensation. A lot of people don't travel from very, very far from where they were born. And that's why he is that kind of fish out of water. It's not that, you know, some of his ideals are different too, but that's because he's been away. Mm-hmm. So it was really important for me that he showed that as a character, which I think he does really well. And look, I do like single malt whiskey, there's no getting away from that. And I don't drink as much as he does. Yeah, there's bits. I mean, my wife says Craig's just a more handsome version of me when he plays Blake.
I don't see you for years and suddenly you appear out of nowhere.
Well, it's my town, Derek. What's your excuse?
Oh, official business and all that. But if you're free later, there will be whiskey.
Love it.
Excellent.
How about the other characters? Are they based on anyone historically or anyone you know, or are they straight out of your imagination?
Yeah, look, Lawson is an interesting character for me, and he's based on a kind of amalgam. I think somebody in one of the reviews said it's a pragmatic Protestant kind of police officer, and I sort of knew a few of those growing up as a kid. Generally on the right side of the law, I have to say. But I knew some of those guys, and they were very interesting characters. And again, it was a different time, and our response to people in uniform and people in authority was very, very different than it is now. Now we're all generally enormously cynical about anyone wearing any kind of uniform. So Lawson was kind of an amalgam of two or three senior police officers that I knew in my early teens and in my 20s. And he does have that quite dour gallows sense of humour that I kind of like. And he's very straightforward. So, yeah, so he's kind of that. Jean's a bit of my mum and a couple of aunts, I suppose, who came out of that environment of this is where we are, this is our lot. You know, started working when they were young, married young, you know, husbands went off to war, didn't come back. What do you do? You know, and it's a really kind of daunting and modern issue of single parents in a way. So that's interesting. And the others are Tyneman, a bit of a guy I knew who was a bit of a wheeler and dealer in town. And Tyneman is, for me, the new face of thrusting Australia in the late 1950s. You know, he's an entrepreneur. John Woods plays Patrick Tyneman.
Get it down.
The painting stays.
Too far this time, Blake. That is offensive.
Well, you don't like it?
Of course I don't bloody well like it. This is a gentleman's club.
He kind of seems, at the moment in the show, I think he probably seems to own everything in the town. But he owns a fair bit of the town. And there were always guys like that around when I was a kid. And again, they were always misunderstood a bit, because it's very easy just to see them as capitalist bastards, really. And you'll see as the series goes on and as series two goes on that the complexity of wanting to change Australia, because a lot of people wanted Australia to be taken seriously in 1959. You know, they wanted to sort of shake off the shackles of the old empire and be seen as a serious nation. And to do that, they had to be kicking goals industrially. And that's what Tyneman's about.